Welcome to the Naracast Tech Briefing. We have a packed agenda today, starting with a massive development in how the software industry handles cybersecurity.
That is right. We are looking at a completely new paradigm where artificial intelligence is finding software vulnerabilities at a scale that human engineering teams might not actually be able to keep up with.
We are also diving into a highly contentious legal and ethical dispute in the 3D printing world. It involves one of the fastest growing hardware companies and allegations of open source license laundering.
It is a fascinating look at the tension between rapid commercial hardware innovation and the strict requirements of copyleft software licenses.
Let's get right into the details. Moving on to our second deep dive, there is a major conflict brewing in the 3D printing community. Bamboo Lab is facing serious accusations of violating the AGPL version 3 license governing Prusa Slicer, which is the open source software their own Bamboo Studio Slicer is based on.
For some context, Bamboo Studio was launched in 2022 as a fork of Prusa Slicer. Prusa Slicer uses a copyleft license, meaning any derivative works must also be open source. The controversy centers entirely around a proprietary closed-source networking library called Bamboo Networking that Bamboo Lab bundles with the software.
Josef Prusa, the founder of Prusa Research, has been very vocal about this. He stated publicly that Bamboo Studio cannot do its primary job without the plugin, and the plugin cannot do anything without Bamboo Studio. He explicitly called it, quote, PR license laundering convenience, unquote.
The argument from Bamboo Lab seems to rely on the separate work defense. They are essentially claiming that because the networking component is a distinct plugin, it doesn't fall under the AGPL requirements of the core slicer code. But legally and functionally, critics argue that is just a technical loophole.
And this isn't just internet forum drama anymore. The Software Freedom Conservancy, or SFC, has officially stepped in. They confirmed the AGPL violation and actually launched a project called Baltobu to address the issue directly.
The SFC's involvement escalated after Bamboo Lab issued legal threats against an independent developer named Pavel Jarchak. He had created an open source fork of the software that restored the cloud printing features without needing Bamboo's proprietary middleware.
Issuing legal threats against a developer for making an open source fork of a project that is itself derived from open source software is a bold move. But following intense public pressure and the direct involvement of the SFC, Bamboo Lab has reportedly backed down from those threats.
This whole situation highlights a massive tension in the hardware industry right now. You have rapid innovation happening, but companies are increasingly relying on cloud-dependent software to lock users into their specific ecosystems. It is a direct threat to user autonomy and the right to repair.
Exactly. Traditional 3D printing workflows were entirely local. You slice the file on your machine, you put it on an SD card, and you print. By shifting core functionality into a proprietary cloud networking plugin, companies gain control over the user experience, but they risk violating the fundamental ethos and legal terms of the open source projects they built their foundations on.
It will be very interesting to see if the SFC pursues further legal action or if Bamboo Lab will be forced to fully open source the networking component. If the separate work defense fails here, it could set a major precedent for how hardware companies utilize copyleft software going forward.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick. We have a look at the friction of global logistics, some insights into Japanese corporate structure, and a couple of user interface debates from the Claude Code community. First up, a fascinating post detailing the extreme friction of international hardware donations. An Australian donor attempted to ship a used MacBook to a Congolese refugee studying computer science in a camp in western Uganda.
The logistics were a nightmare. The shipment cost 111 Australian dollars, bouncing through the UK, UAE, and Kenya. But the real issue was Ugandan customs, who seized the used device because the recipient lacked a formal tax identification number, something practically impossible for a refugee to obtain.
It eventually took an agency fee of 95,000 Ugandan shillings just to recover it from a local hardware shop. It really highlights how rigid national customs and lack of formal ID systems create severe digital exclusion for displaced populations.
Next, an interesting analysis on corporate strategy, looking at why Japanese firms, like Yamaha making both motorcycles and pianos, operate across such highly diverse industries compared to the Western model of focusing on core competencies.
It traces back to the Keiretsu system, which evolved from pre-World War II family conglomerates. These networks prioritize long-term survival, employee stability, and mutual protection against market volatility over short-term shareholder returns.
While this structure shields them from hostile takeovers, modern research suggests the profitability advantage of this extreme diversification diminishes when you control for firm-specific factors, raising questions about economic efficiency.
Moving over to AI tooling, there is a highly requested feature on the Claude Code GitHub tracker regarding the interactive prompt widgets in the Claude desktop app.
Users are complaining that when the agent asks a clarification question, the UI box takes up a massive portion of the vertical space. It literally blocks the preceding code context that the developer needs to read in order to answer the question accurately.
People are trying to bypass the widget, which sometimes registers as a declined response and clutters the chat history. They are just asking for a simple way to temporarily hide the question so they can actually see their workspace.
And sticking with Claude Code, there is another UI friction point in their VS Code extension. Users can attach code snippets to the chat via a keyboard shortcut, which appear as visual chips in the input box.
The problem is there is no simple remove button or X on these chips. As developers attach multiple file ranges to give the AI context, the interface gets heavily cluttered with no easy way to clear out old attachments.
It is a small detail, but it perfectly illustrates the ongoing challenge of designing intuitive interfaces for managing large, multi-file context windows in AI coding assistants.
That brings us to the end of today's briefing. It is clear that whether we are talking about AI discovering thousands of vulnerabilities or open source licensing battles, the infrastructure of software development is undergoing rapid changes.
Thank you all for tuning in. We will continue to track these stories and bring you the latest analysis on how they impact the broader technology landscape.
We will be back tomorrow with more updates. Until then, take care.